Hi, welcome back to Joe Blogs. This video is the next in a series looking at the financial implications of Russia's invasion of Ukraine on the global economy. And in today's episode, I want to talk about mobilisation. On the 21st of September, President Putin announced that he was mobilising 300,000 additional troops to go and fight in Ukraine. And this was the first time that Russia had called a mobilisation since World War II. And this announcement sent shockwaves all through Russia. We saw hundreds of thousands of people making a break for the border to try to avoid being called up. So today I want to give you an update on how the mobilisation is going, how many people have actually been called up, how many people have actually been sent out to fight. And then I want to talk about the economics of this situation, because the details of what these individuals are being paid has now been released, and it differs depending on what region you're in. But we'll have a look at those numbers and I'll compare them to what the average pay is in Russia so you can see whether or not it's worthwhile from a financial point of view being called up. We'll then have a look at how this pay compares to average pay all across the world. We'll also have a look at what additional benefits are being offered to people who are being called up. And then finally today I'll wrap up with my summary as to what I think the implications of this mobilisation are for Russia, its economy and the global economy. So before we get started on all of that, if I could ask you to give me a thumbs up at some point during this video, if you're enjoying the content, please subscribe if you haven't done so already. I'm still on that push for 200,000, so if you could help, that would be fantastic. Don't forget, I always include chapters, so if you don't have time to watch the whole video, you can skip through things and just watch the portions that you want to see. And if you'd like to support the channel, please have a look below where you'll find links to YouTube Super Thanks and membership, as well as Buy Me a Coffee, Patreon and Amazon shopping links. If you've been following the channel, you'll know that I recently posted a video talking about mobilisation and I shared some footage that had been filmed by some of the people who'd actually been mobilised. And one of the individuals was speaking out on camera saying that they'd had no details whatsoever in terms of how much they were going to be paid, what benefits were going to be given to their families and what would happen in the event that they didn't come back from Ukraine.
У нас такой вопрос. Первое, это будут ли выплаты мобилизованным единовременно? В качестве материальной поддержки, потому что семьи наши очень в этом нуждаются. Кормильцы, грубо говоря, ушли. Завтра в любое время мы можем улететь уже туда, там уже не знаем, что с нами будет. Второй вопрос это по поводу неурегулированно, да, я знаю, я не один такой, у всех кредиты, ипотеки и так далее. То есть я позвонил в банк, мне сказали, что я должен предоставить, прийти в банк, явиться, и написать заявление, либо жена по доверенности. У меня не было на это времени. Мне повестка пришла вечером, а с утра я уже должен был явиться в военкомат. И должны быть предоставлены кредитные каникулы. Хотя бы, чтобы были каникулы.
So there was a lot of uncertainty and a lot of confusion in terms of all of these people who'd been called up. And literally, they had just received a notification saying, please turn up at your recruitment office tomorrow morning and you'll then go through some training and be sent off to Ukraine. So this is an absolutely terrible situation to be in, particularly if you're the breadwinner in your family. If you're the main income earner, you've got a good job, you've been living your normal life, and all of a sudden you're told you have to give all of that up and go and fight in Ukraine. And from a financial point of view, these guys had no clue at all what they were going to be paid. Now, Russia have not issued any official press releases giving details of what the reservists are going to be paid, but information is now starting to leak through, and I've got some details to share with you. Payments to draftees and their relatives beyond the federal government's base rate have been made the responsibility of regional authorities. As a result, compensation for draftees varies from one place to the next. In Vladimir, mobilised troops will receive 40,000 rubles per month, which equates to around about $650. In Moscow, where the cost of living is a lot higher, mobilised troops will receive 50,000 rubles per month. Now, one thing that is interesting to note is that no payments have yet been made. Some regions have said that payments will be sent out by the end of October, others not until November. So the pay that's being offered to all of the people who are being called up through this mobilisation ranges between $650 and $800 per month. So that means that these individuals who have been taken out of their normal everyday lives are being offered somewhere between 20 and 25 US dollars per day to go and put their lives at risk in Ukraine. Now, obviously, the cost of living varies all around the world, so it's difficult to compare like for like. But just to put this into context, $20 per day is not that much above the hourly rate that individuals are paid in the USA to work for McDonald's. and the chances of being shot dead whilst working at McDonald's are considerably lower than they are of being in Ukraine right now. And whilst that analogy is obviously slightly frivolous, it does put into perspective the issue of whether or not you want to go and fight in Ukraine and risk your life for a very small amount of compensation, or if you'd prefer actually to leave the country and try to pick up a job somewhere else that is probably going to give you better financial rewards and will certainly mean that you've got a longer life expectancy. But in order to put this into genuine context, let's have a look at what average monthly salaries have been in Russia over the last 20 years. This chart shows the movements in average monthly wages in Russia between 1998 and 2021. And it shows that in 2021, the average salary was 56,545 Russian rubles. So the range that's being offered to mobilised troops of between 40,000 and 50,000 is below the historic national average. And if you look at the chart, you can see that 40,000 rubles, which is being offered in the regions, was actually the average salary back in 2017, so 5 years ago. And the higher rate of 50,000 rubles is less than the average wage for 2020. So the package doesn't look attractive from that perspective, but it's actually much worse than that. Because if you look at what's been happening with inflation over the last 2 years, there has been a rapid rise in prices. In 2020, the average rate of inflation was somewhere in the region of 4 or 5%. In 21, it was somewhere in the region of 7 or 8%. And this chart shows what's been happening with inflation since the start of the Ukraine war. And you can see that there's been a double-digit increase in prices in every month since March. So when you incorporate these high rates of inflation, the 40,000 rubles that is being offered right now to reservists is worth significantly less in today's terms than it was in 2017 when it was actually around the average wage. So in real terms, these wages are significantly below today's average wage. So the package being offered to reservists looks pretty unattractive compared to what else is being paid in Russia. But in terms of the people who are looking to leave the country, I thought it was worth having a look at what average wages are all around the world. This map of the world ranks all countries by average salary and has been colour coordinated. So the countries offering the highest average monthly earnings are coloured in red or orange, and the gradient then reduces down to green, which are the lowest paying countries. Now obviously it's quite difficult to pick out exactly what's going on, so this list gives us the definitive answer to which countries pay the highest salaries and which countries pay the lowest. Now this table has been put together on a net basis, so that means that it takes into account the average rate of tax in each jurisdiction. And as a result of the combination of high salaries and low taxes, Switzerland is ranked as the country that pays the highest average monthly net salary. And if you're on the average wage in Switzerland, you'll be earning over $5,300 every single month. That's how much money will be going into your bank account. So all those stories you've heard about super rich bankers in Switzerland are absolutely true. The country offering the next highest average monthly salary is Qatar, which is obviously an oil-rich country and is actually hosting the Soccer World Cup in 2022. And the average earner in Qatar is taking home over $4,800 per month. The next best place to work in the world is Singapore, where you'll earn around $4,300, followed by the USA, $4,100. The UAE comes in at number 4 with $3,800. Luxembourg, which is a European country that has special tax breaks, comes in at number 6 with around $3,700. Australia is the 7th highest paying country in the world, also coming in around $3,700. Denmark is number 8 at $3,100. Norway number 9 at a similar level, and Iceland, the Netherlands and Canada at 10, 11 and 12 are also countries where you will earn on average more than $3,000 per month. Now if we scroll much further down this list, we find Russia at number 50, and the official average monthly wage in Russia is $767.94. which is quite a lot higher than the $650 that's being offered to the majority of people who are being mobilised right now. And you have to question that decision because mobilisation is not popular. People do not want to go and fight in a war in Ukraine. So they should be compensated from a monetary perspective. If you get the mobilisation call, there is a real possibility that you may never return home. You could die in Ukraine, so you need to be compensated for that. And being paid less than the average wage in your country is not compensation. That does not encourage people to leave their jobs and their families to go and fight in Ukraine. And if we carry on scrolling down this list, you can see that we need to get to number 60, which is Jordan, which pays an average monthly wage of $604, before you've hit a country that's paying less than what's being offered to these mobilised troops. And I think these figures really put into perspective why a lot of people in Russia right now are deciding that they would rather leave the country forever, because on average, they will be paid considerably more than they're being offered to risk their lives in Ukraine. And of course, the figures in this table are the average wage. They don't take into account the highest earners. This is just the national averages. So if you've got a reasonable job, if you've got some skills, something that you could do elsewhere, then it's fair to assume that you may be able to earn above the average wage. So you could actually be earning significantly more than these averages in all of these different countries. So it really goes to show that there is absolutely no financial incentive being offered at all to these mobilized troops. This doesn't really even compensate them walking away from their existing jobs, because it's less than the average wage in Russia. So unless you're unemployed with no prospects, the deal that's being put forward by the authorities is very unattractive. Now, in order to give you the full picture, I wanted to talk through some of the benefits that are being offered to people who are being mobilised. Because they're not just being paid a salary, they're also being offered some additional options. The benefits being offered to the families of mobilised troops include items such as free daycare for children, free school meals, vouchers for camps and retreats, discounts on housing, utilities and transportation, and special services for the disabled and elderly. In addition to this, certain regions are also offering special incentives. In Sakhalin, which is the island where the oil and gas facilities have been developed, I covered that off in a number of videos recently, the authorities have promised to give draftees' relatives free frozen fish. In Yarnovosti, mobilised troops' families will get a free sheep. In Buryatia, families will be offered free firewood, although it's only available for the needy. And in the Tuva Republic, each family will be given one ram and 50 kilograms of flour, two bags of potatoes, a cabbage, and farmers will receive an additional ton of oats. So as I said, I wanted to give you the full picture. It's not just about $650 per month. Your family might get a free sheep or a bag of potatoes. So what's the summary and conclusion today? Well, I wanted to post this video because, as you know, this channel is all about economics. So when we're talking about anything relating to the war in Ukraine, I'm trying to translate that into finance and talk about what the pros and cons are for that particular topic. And the mobilization has been universally unpopular in Russia. It's caused a lot of concern and anxiety, and it's reported that 700,000 people have fled the country since the mobilization was announced. And that's in addition to the 500,000 people that it's reported left at the start of the war, what's been called the brain drain, all of the higher earners, all people who are in good jobs, who decided that they no longer wanted to live and work in Russia, so they left very early on. So we've seen over 1.2 million people leaving the country as a result, firstly of the war and secondly of this mobilization. But the men who've remained and are eligible for call-up are facing the prospect of being paid $650 per month to go and fight in Ukraine. Now, to put this into context of your life, these are people just like you who've got jobs. They're going about their normal daily activity. They're going to work, and this could be anybody from school teachers to truck drivers to doctors, nurses, you name it. It could be anybody who gets that conscription call up. And once you receive that letter, you've got around 24 hours to get all of your things together and report to your local conscription office. So you're walking away from your job, and no details have been released at all as to what the deals are with regards to all of the companies, whether the government has agreed that all of those jobs will be kept open, how that will actually work in practice. Because if you're a delivery firm and half of your drivers get called up to go and fight in Ukraine, you're going to have to replace all of those drivers really quickly, because otherwise your business is going to go down the pan. You won't be able to make all of your deliveries. You won't be able to meet all of your contracts. Therefore, you won't get paid by your customers. They'll either go and use another company or they'll just cancel the contract entirely. So this is putting a lot of businesses into jeopardy. And there's no way that these companies can carry on paying all of these individuals whilst they're in Ukraine fighting, because they need to pay their replacements instead. So this is causing chaos from an economic point of view for all of these companies. But from the individual's point of view, this call-up is an absolute disaster. Because firstly, you're being ripped out of your home life. Secondly, you're being ripped out of your work life. And thirdly, you're being paid less on average than you were being paid before. So not only are you going to have to risk your life in Ukraine, run the possibility of getting life-changing injuries or even dying in battle, but you're also being paid a lot less for doing that than you were for doing your existing job. Now, clearly from Russia's point of view, there are budgetary constraints. You don't want to be paying all of the people you're mobilizing more than the average wage. But what they're doing right now is paying them considerably less than the average wage. And this is for something that was already really unpopular amongst all of the people in Russia. And when you add on top of that, the fact that we're now hearing stories about people who've been called up through this mobilization, who've been killed and are now being returned back to their family within a matter of weeks of being called up, then that is likely to make this mobilization concept even more unpopular. Because not only are you being paid less, not only do you have to walk away from your family, but there is also a good chance that you could end up dead. Because the people who are being called up through this mobilization, firstly, are not being trained sufficiently. So the training is for a matter of weeks. And in a lot of cases, this is people who don't have any prior military background. So they're not refreshing their skills. They don't have any skills. Secondly, there's talk that they're not being given sufficient equipment, so not being given any protective armor, they're not being given the right guns, so they're unprepared to go into battle. And thirdly, they're being sent into areas where there's active warfare. Ukraine is pushing back hard at the moment. Over the last month or so, Ukraine has taken back more than 7,000 square kilometers of land. Russian troops are fleeing on a daily basis. That is not where you want to be if you're an unprepared guy who's just been called up through a mobilization, who doesn't have the right equipment. That is the last place on earth that you want to be. So I think the overall summary here is that from a financial point of view, this deal looks very unattractive. You're going to get paid on average less than you were getting paid back in 2017 in most cases. So this is going back 5 years. It's highly likely that you'll be getting paid a lot less than you were actually getting paid in your real job. Your real job may no longer be available to you when you come back from war because your employer may have had to replace you, and so it might not actually be available. So you may have lost your job forever. But much, much worse than all of that, there is a very real chance that when you get given your equipment, it might not be sufficient. You'll then get sent into a war zone and you may either be wounded severely or you could die, so you may never come back from this battle. So when you put it into that context, you can see why so many people in Russia have decided that rather than doing that, they would rather leave Russia forever and make their way to other countries and try to build a new life for themselves. Because the downside of going to Ukraine is really quite severe. You may never come back from Ukraine. The downside of going to Georgia or Kazakhstan is probably not as severe as that. You may encounter some financial hardship. It might take some time to re-establish yourself, but at least you'll be with your family and still alive. So as I said at the start of the video, I wanted to post this really to give you an update on the mobilization process, but also to give you a bit more context and to give you a bit better understanding as to what it would be like to receive that paper and actually be told that you're going to now have to go and fight in Ukraine tomorrow. So hopefully you found this video interesting, informative and thought-provoking. If you've liked what I've said, please give me a thumbs up and don't forget to subscribe if you haven't done so already.